All right, rookie move, not having my microphone ready. Man, off to a tough start. Here we go. Well, good morning, Harbor City Church. How's everybody doing this fine? Good. I opened my curtains this morning at like 6:30 to let the sun in. It was so nice. Did not bless my wife that early in the morning. All right, well, we have been going through our series, Miracles for Today. How many of you are excited about God working some miracles in your life? And this morning, the title of our message is The Floating Axe Head. Axe heads do float. All right, as we've started the last few messages, we've gone over some definitions of miracles. I have a few new ones for us to look out, but they all resonate with one another. Dick Iverson, in the book The Holy Spirit Today, which is a great book, he was the founding pastor of what is now Manor House Church in Portland. Pastor Doug went to his Bible college, Portland Bible College. Any Portland Bible College grads or students in here? Pastor Doug, all right, he's the grad. I've done some classes there. Well, he writes in his book The Holy Spirit Today, if you want to learn more about the Holy Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit. But regarding miracles, he says a miracle is a happening or an event which is supernatural. The performance of something which is against the laws of nature. A miracle could be called a supernatural phenomenon. Miracles defy reason and transcend natural laws. Who created the heavens and the earth? In the beginning, God created. Creation is one of the first attributes that we see about God, that he is creative. Well, if he created the first time, he can still create again, correct? There can still be creative miracles today. Now, the one thing which makes, he writes, Christianity unique is the supernatural. Christianity is totally based on the supernatural. The gift of miracles is simply the God-given ability to cooperate with God as he performs miracles. It is participating with God in performing of the impossible. It is not man performing miracles, but God performing miracles through a cooperative act with men. Couple other definitions. There's a pastor and author. His name is Herbert Lockyer. He writes about a miracle is a work wrought by a divine power for a divine purpose by means beyond the reach of man. And J.I. Packer, who wrote the book called Knowing God, which is a fabulous book, he writes that a miracle is an observed event that triggers awareness of God's presence and power. Pastor Doug actually shared in Joshua 10 it says, Then Joshua spoke to the Lord in the day when the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the children of Israel. And he said in the sight of Israel, Sun, stand still over Gibeon, and moon in the valley of Ajalon. So the sun stood still, and the moon stopped till the people had revenge upon their enemies. Now, would that be an observed event that triggers awareness of God's presence and power? Absolutely. Now, we had quite a debate in our staff meeting about did the earth rotates and did the earth stop or did the moon do this or that. I don't know about all that stuff. I'm a preacher, not a physics major. Whereas Derek's around here. I think Derek is a physics major. There he is. He set us straight on that. I wasn't a very good student. I can't remember. All I know is that something amazing and powerful and awesome happened. And it triggered an awareness of God's presence and power. There was a preacher who passed away a few years ago. His name was Dr. David Yonggi Cho, and he pastored for years in Seoul, Korea. And I know that our pastor Wendell Smith would have him come to Kirkland, Washington, and do these global strategy conferences. But he shared that as a young boy, he was 17 years old, and he was dying of tuberculosis on his bed in Seoul, Korea, poor boy. He was raised as a Buddhist. His whole family was Buddhist. And this young Christian girl, I think she was Korean, but a young Christian girl, she would come to his bedside and she would minister to this young boy. And when she would share about Jesus with him, that she gave him a Bible and he read through the Bible, he read about all the miracles and all the healing. He said, I read about a virgin giving birth to a baby. I read about a blind man receiving his sight. He said, a lame man could walk. He said, dead were raised back to life again.
And he said, because there were miracles in the Bible that he read about, that he could have hope all of a sudden. He said, Buddhism is very logical. But he said, Christianity is very illogical, full of miracles. And because of that, I could have hope, he said. So he said, Buddha didn't help me out very much. But Jesus helped him out. And God raised him up off of that deathbed. Matter of fact, he prayed this prayer. He said, Jesus, if you heal me, you will get great benefit from my life. That could be a good prayer that you pray. So as I studied, and I've listened to some messages by Dr. David Cho, he started a church in Seoul, Korea in 1958 in a tent pieced together from bits of U.S. Army tents. Matter of fact, he said that they would throw some mattresses out for people to sit on. Man, we have it good in here. But you would come to his army tent service and there are mattresses kind of strewn about and they'd sit on mattresses. Well, it eventually grew to a weekly attendance of about 800,000 people over seven services. So get ready. Just make an announcement. We're going to seven services. Okay, No. I would like to do four before we get to seven. Like, you know, this, we're still getting used to three services. He had hundreds of licensed ministers and thousands of laypersons leading weekly small groups. What was that born out of? The miraculous. He saw that there was the God of the Bible is a God of miracles, and it gave him hope. We can have hope in the God of miracles. Okay, in your notes. You have some notes in front of you, I trust. I'm going to kind of give you the fill in the blanks, kind of, and then we'll talk about it. Creating an environment for miracles. Mark 6 says this. Then Jesus went out from there and came to his own country, and his disciples followed him. When the Sabbath had come, he began to teach in the synagogue. And many hearing him were astonished, saying, where did this man get these things? And what wisdom is this which is given to him that such mighty works are performed by his hands? Now, is Jesus the same yesterday, today, and forever? Okay, so he was performing mighty works, right? Yeah. Is this not the carpenter, the son of Mary, and brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon? Are not his sisters here with us? So they were offended at him, the local boy. The kid from Aberdeen High School doing all these miters. His dad had a shop, had the small engine repair shop downtown. We know who this guy is. Yeah. Isn't he on the football team? Yeah. Actually, I thought about Jesus. I wonder what team he would be on. Soccer. He said soccer team. Any other takers? No, that isn't it. The Lord told me right here sitting on the front row. I say that jokingly, of course. I think he'd be on the debate team. Yeah. Pastor Doug was a debate coach. No, he doesn't buy. Did I say sport team? Well, boo-hoo on you. Okay, moving on. But Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor except in his own country, among his own relatives, and in his own house. Now, he could do no mighty work there. What an environment. They got comfortable. We know where he's from. We know his dad. We know his brothers. We know his sisters. So because they had this familiarity with him, surely they stifled the power of God because they refused to believe in him. Yeah. Now, he could do no mighty work there except, now watch this, that he laid his hands on a few sick people and healed them. He actually marvels because of their unbelief. And then he went about in the villages in a circuit teaching. Now, this was a tough environment. This was an environment, they were stifled. They were familiar with him. How many of you here believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Yes. He can do mighty works. Yes. He did mighty works. Yes. Two or three are in this room, more than that, we're gathered together in his name, right? Now, because of their unbelief, they stifled his ability to do mighty works. Although previously in the verse, they knew about the mighty works. They had heard about the mighty works. And that they refused to believe because he was on the soccer team or he was the debate kid or his dad owned a shop downtown. But I find something very encouraging in this verse. And yet, in spite of that sterile environment, the environment that refused to believe who he was and what he could do, he could still get people healed in that environment. And here we are. I'm going to lose my voice. Here we are saying, we want you here. We love you here. We did four songs this morning saying, Jesus, we love you. Well, hey, how much more can he do in this place that we want him here? He was still able to heal and restore in that place. And here we are saturating this environment. I think things can get done in this house. We want Jesus here. We have, and this is what we've been creating, an environment saturated with faith, expectation, and belief. If Jesus could heal in a hostile environment, how much more can he do here with us today, with those that are worshiping him? Does that sound good? So environment is important. So that's why we preach about healing, we preach about miracles, we preach the word of God, we worship, we're creating an environment for the Holy Spirit to come in and work. Now, in your next point, number four, just in my notes, you don't have my notes. Continue, wow, point four, continue believing. Mark 5 says this. Now, a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years. How many years?
12.
12 years. And she had suffered many things from many physicians. She had spent all that she had, and she was no better, but rather grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment, for she said, if only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well. Yes. I'm happy to be sharing with you this week. I had to go to the doctor this week, and just a little chest thing, but I'm excited because I have a message. I have a word to share this morning. And we're not opposed to physicians, right? No. Now, she went to the physicians. We'll find that, that physicians may be able to help you or they may not be able to help you. But she didn't get better. She rather grew worse. Now, when she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment, for she said, if only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well. I should add, too, by the way, the doctor cleared me, said, Cameron, you're not contagious. You're fine. Go do what you need to do. I was doing good this morning. Then Garrison or Alex, they hit a high note, and I went for the high note singing, and then my voice went, no, you're not doing. I shouldn't have gone for the high note. Immediately, the fountain of her blood was dried up. She felt in her body she was healed of the affliction. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that the power had gone out of him, turned around in the crowd and said, who touched my clothes? But his disciples said to him, you see the multitude thronging you, and you say, who touched me? And he looked around her to see who had done this thing. Okay, she had been believing for how many years? We learned it was 12 years. She had worked with many physicians. They did their best that they could do. Now, it said that she suffered many things. When I actually was like, I went to the Greek, like, man, what is this suffering? And it says there was pain associated with it. She was in a lot of pain. Man, I suffered for a couple days this week. Now, I don't like suffering for 2 days or a week. And here she had been suffering for 12 years, and I don't know that this is an issue of malpractice. I think the doctors were doing the best that she could, and she had some money, and she gave all that she had. But then it says she didn't get better, but she rather grew worse. Now watch, it says this, but she heard about Jesus. Now, we talked a few weeks ago about how does faith come? So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And she heard something, because that's how faith comes. And I think she heard about there was a healer in town. Maybe she heard about the environment where there were no mighty works, but Jesus was still healing in those places. Maybe she heard about how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. And she heard the reports. And Dr. Cho heard the reports. And she took courage. And she had been suffering for 12 long years. And I almost titled my point, it says, continue believing. I almost said, believe again. But you could still be believing. Because I think I'm so proud of this gal bleeding for 12 years. How many of you, after 12 years of believing and trusting God, would say, I'm ready to throw in the towel on this deal? Matter of fact, I don't know. I went to every specialist. And surely if every specialist couldn't get done, how about this? But I think she took heart and she took courage. And she had been believing for 12 long years, and she took heart again and said, you know what? I will believe again. How do we know? Because it says, because she said something. Actually, it says, she says this, if only I can touch his clothes, I shall be made well. She said that. It says, she said this. She said this. We do a freedom series here at Harbor City Church, and there's 7 weeks in this freedom, and the week four is called The Power of Words. I actually get to teach that message on words, and I think words are so powerful. Words have transformed my life, and I've shared you the story. I used to be so scared to speak. The first time I had to speak, I said, I'm so scared. I'll never be able to have a microphone. I actually broke down crying, and the pastor said, you need a new confession. You need to say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, and you need to speak to the sycamore tree. Have faith in God. I tell you, if you speak to the mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea. You do not doubt in your heart. You believe the things that you say will be done. You will have whatever you said. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. And it says that she said, if I could just get to his garment and touch his clothes, I shall be made well. And she did. Now, what if she said this? I'll never make it. Matt, I'm just a girl. And there's a big crowd. Matter of fact, all those disciples said, there's just a big crowd. Why are you saying who touched me? There's just a big crowd. She said, no, I'd love to get to Jesus. I heard good things, but I'll never make it to him. I'm too weak and I'm too feeble. And even if I did get to him, probably nothing would happen. What if she said that? But she didn't say that. She didn't say that. She said, what did she say? If only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well. Will you press through today? We're just kind of free-flowing here right now. How long have you been believing for? When I came to this point, my heart on this was believe again, because I think that sometimes inside we have a believer and our believers can break. That we've been trusting God and nothing happened. We responded to the altar for prayer. We gave it everything we had and it didn't happen. And we decided that we went to the Wednesday night prayer and we had the group pray and something didn't happen. And so our faith can grow a little weak and we can say, man, I don't know if I'm going to press through this time. I pressed through before and something didn't happen. I would just like to just lay out the case of the woman with flowing for 12 years. She said, if I could just get to him. I think this is good to take some good encouragement for her. It can be scary to believe again. Will you believe again? You're hearing about Jesus. He is still in the healing business, I've heard one minister say. And we have been cultivating an environment of belief. Matter of fact, when I thought about this, I thought, man, she, after 12 years, said, I'm going to believe again or continue believing. There's actually a man that had an infirmity in the Bible. They laid him at the pool of Bethesda for 38 years. And Jesus goes, will you be made well? And Jesus took him by the hand and the man rose up and walked. 38 years. So you could say, well, I haven't been believing for 12 years. I've been trusting God for 20 years. I've been trusting God. I've been pressing him for 30 years. Well, this gentleman here was trusting God 38 years in with an infirmity. Today was his day. That was his day. There can be a day for you. So continue believing. Will you continue to believe? And if you have grown discouraged, will you believe again? Next in your notes, let's talk about the floating axe head miracle. I like the floating axe head. And the sons of the prophets said to Elisha, see now, the place where we dwell with you is too small for us. This is the sons of the prophets. Some places, this is considered the school of the prophets. Please let us go to the Jordan and let every man take a beam from there and let us make there a place where we may dwell. So he answered, go. Wow. Then one said, please consent to go with your servants. And he answered, I will go. He doesn't sound like much of a conversationalist to me. Man, you go talk to Elisha. I don't know. He doesn't say a whole lot. Well, he went with them, and when they came to the Jordan, they cut down trees. But as one was cutting down a tree, the iron axe head fell into the water, and he cried out and said, ah, "Alas, master, it was borrowed." So the man of God said, "Where did it fall?" And he showed him the place. So he cut off a stick. He threw it in there and he made the iron float. Therefore, he said, "Pick it up for yourself." So he reached out his hand and took it. Friends, if you were cutting a tree with an axe and the axe head falls into the water and you throw a stick in, do axe heads float? Right, okay, I just want to make sure we're on the same page here. This is like mind-boggling to me. This provides so much encouragement to me that the impossible becomes possible with God. So for us, we may not be out on the river. We're not building, you know, a larger place. And, you know, we don't have an actual axe in our hand. But we can have some things in our life that are important and valuable to us that they've sunken down to a place beyond human reach, beyond a place that we're able to retrieve it. And so we can find ourselves in a place of great discouragement where there's no human way that this axe head can float. But we know that with God, all things are possible. A couple thoughts here on this. I love the fact that the prophet, this young prophet, he loses his axe and he goes back to Elisha. He says, "Alas, master." You know, God can use leaders around you to provoke or work a miracle in your life. This reminded me when I was a young man in my early to late 20s, and I really wanted a wife. I was living on Orcas Island, and my graduating high school class, I think, was like 38 students. Wow. And then we had a small church out there on Orcas Island, and I wanted to meet a nice Christian gal, and there were no gals out there. And so I actually went on eHarmony. Has anybody ever heard of eHarmony? It's just like, maybe I was a trendsetter. Maybe I was innovative. I don't know if online dating and all the platforms are that weird now. I said it. It was weird then. And I did the eHarmony test, and at the end of the test, it spit out my results. We're sorry. So once in a while, there's a person that's not compatible. Or I actually failed eHarmony. I don't know what answers I put. I'm like, I promise I'm not a weirdo at all. Man, that felt like the axe had sunk. Like, man, I'm on an island, so I'm like on the interwebs, man. Like, I can fill out a form and maybe I can meet girls outside of Orcas Island. We're sorry, sir. You did not pass the test. I didn't even know it was pass or fail. I failed eHarmony. That's my great testimony. So I was at a conference with my pastor at the time, and I was kind of this master. We could call him Master Doug. I don't know if he'd go for that. Don't do that. He won't go for that. And I think it's good to go ask for help. I said, "Pastor, I'm on Orcas. There's no one here." He said, "You need to get on a ferry boat, Daniel Boone." I think he kind of called me Daniel Boone. "And you need to go out into the world and meet some people." And that's what I did. And I went to a prayer service to pick up on chicks. And no, I didn't do that. To meet Jennifer. And I met my wife, Jennifer. You know why I had to meet Jennifer at church? She wasn't on eHarmony. God has a plan for you. God has a perfect plan. You know, it's funny, as I was studying out the axe head, can you believe this? Some theologians would say this. Not many. "Well, you know, what happened is, you know, Elijah took a stick and then he threw it into the water and it like went perfectly into the iron piece and then the wood made it float." Okay, I like one other person said, we don't need to try to like double the miracle by assuming that thing happened. No, he threw the stick in, the iron floats. Jeremiah 32:27, "Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is anything too hard for me?" What has sunk in your life? What do you need to float? Now, I understand when I say this, I talk about a woman with an issue of blood bleeding for 12 years. You're like, "Bro, I'm not bleeding. Physically, I'm good." We talk about what's sunk in your life. You're like, "It's all good." The trials of life come to all of us, do they not? So if you're like, I'm good right now, well, just put this in your back pocket. Because I know through my life, things have sunk. What if the axe said that your marriage is down there? Can that marriage float again? It can float again. What about your business? Can your business float again? I remember I had a rental property with someone. We had a business, we had a rental, and I came home from church one day. It was on a Sunday, and I came home, and I had another unit on the same property where I went rented out this other rental unit, and it was cold, and it was snowing, and it froze, and the pipes burst and broke, and water was coming out of the front door with my renters with their bags in hand saying, we're out of here. See ya, buddy. Now, that's great discouragement. That's like, the axe head is sunk to the bottom of the river. What am I going to do? And I just remember crying out to the Lord. And as I thought about it, I'm like, was I crying or crying out to the Lord? I actually think I was crying out to the Lord. And a word came to me that said this. It's in the Bible. We've been through fire and we've been through flood, but the Lord has brought us out to a place of rich fulfillment. And that's a rhema word of God. That's God speaking his word to you. And faith comes by hearing that word. And my faith grew. And I said, you know, we're going to come out of this. And I was able, because of the insurance money that came in, to remodel my place for the bride that I just met, Jennifer, and get her a nice new remodeled place. So God can make the axe head float. What about a relationship that is sunk? What about a physical need? What about a dream that you've been carrying that you feel like, this, is there any way for this to float? Hope deferred does make the heart sick, but when the desire comes, it's a tree of life, and God can make that desire come to you. In your notes, let's go over the next point. It's just a word of balance. Call this the secret things. My daughter, a few weeks ago, the sun randomly kind of popped out on a day, and there was these guys 50 yards from my house or so. They were building a fence, and she put up a lemonade stand right there. Which I think is a pro move right there. I said, you seriously, the guys were working, so you put up a lemonade stand. She said, Dad, that is not why I put up the lemonade stand. All right. But one guy came over and gave her a big box of change, and she counted it out, and there was $11 in there. He didn't want the lemonade. But in there was this coin. It's a cool 50-cent piece. I hadn't seen one in a long time. Half a dollar, it says. And as I thought about the coin, I thought about two sides to the coin. Because we talk about preaching, we talk about miracles, and healing, receiving what was promised. But I do know that sometimes it does raise the question, well, why are some still sick? That's a fair question. And why didn't some receive what was promised? Or why did someone die young? And I think it's a fair question. And I remember I shared a few weeks ago about this man by the name of Smith Wigglesworth. And he raised multiple people from the dead. He raised his wife, Polly. She died. He raised her from the dead, and she said, let me go, Daddy. She's like, she had been with Jesus, like she wanted to go. And so that's powerful. But also about Smith Wigglesworth, he had a daughter that was born with a hearing condition. And either she was very deaf or very hard of hearing. And here he is doing these wonderful miracle crusades, healing many. And his daughter, Alice, is on the front row with a hearing horn just so she could hear her dad. Well, why did he heal all these people, but he couldn't heal his own daughter? That's a great question. Yeah. Now, first of all, we know that we're not the healers, right? Jesus is the healer. But I do want to share a verse with you. This verse has given me great comfort, and you should remember this verse. In Deuteronomy 29:29, it says this. It should be on the screen. It is. The secret things belong to the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong to us and to our children forever. I know that some things are a secret with God, but if it's revealed to us, great, then that belongs to us. Well, why did brother so-and-so die young? I don't know. That's a mystery to me. That's a secret thing. If God wants to show that to me and reveal that to me, amen. I got to tell you, God's never revealed that to me though. Now, if he did, I might have a revelation or, okay, I understand that that happened or that happened. But there are some secret things. There was a gentleman, a prophet here, I want to say 4 years ago, five. His name was Bob Isabel, and he's called the Weeping Prophet. And I remember he prophesied over me once in Gilbert, Arizona. And just in some of his messages, I just heard him say this: you have to let God be God. The secret things belong to the Lord, but the things that are revealed to us belong to us. But I do know this. Jesus said, these signs will follow those who believe. In my name, they'll cast out demons. They'll speak with new tongues. They'll take up serpents. If they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. We do our part and we let God do his part. God is the God of the impossible. Jeremiah 32, 27. Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is anything too hard for me? Is anything too hard for him? God is interested in the big things and the little things. The axe head might be fairly insignificant. Like, man, go to Home Depot, I'll give you $5. Pick one up. Could be, but God is interested in those things in your life. The axe head can float again. Reach out to your pastors, your small group leaders, your youth pastors, your prayer pastors for help. Alas, Master, he said, go to someone. Your miracle could be in the divine relationship next to you. That's how I found my wife, calling out for help. eHarmony couldn't do it for me, but a man of God could. God responds to prayer. Don't forget to ask. Ask, it'll be given to you. Seek, you'll find. Knock, the door will be opened for you. Therefore, I say to you, Mark 11, 24, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you'll have them. That's the woman with the issue of blood. If I could just get to him, I will be made well. And finally, number three, there is always hope for us, no matter what our situation. Always remember the floating axe head. If the axe head floats, all things are possible. That's why I love the floating axe head. If the axe head is impossible, it's on the bottom, and that axe head floats, then as Christians, we are never out of the game. We're never lost. We're never beyond hope. But nothing is ever out of reach. With God, all things are possible. Axe head floats. All things are possible to you. Amen. Would you stand with me this morning? Thank you, Craig. All right, would you, you don't have to bow your head real quick. The greatest miracle of all is if anyone's in Christ Jesus, he's a brand new creation. You know, you ask Jesus in your life, he actually makes you a brand new creation. And all these things are of God. You can't make yourself a new creation. This is something God did. I told a young man at youth this week, I said, I was drinking and driving one night and I crashed my car, almost died. Rolled it down the road, friends in the car, crawled out the window, and I said, I will never drink again. Less than 24 hours later, I was drinking again. I couldn't do it by, I could not make myself a new creation. This is something that God does. You say, Jesus, come into my life, and he makes you brand new. With every head bowed, if you would like to be a new creation, we were all gonna pray together. Would you raise your hand so that if you want to come into the family of God, I'd say, I want to know that I'm right with God and I want to know that I'm a new creation. Raise your hand. One, two, and those online. Amen. I'm going to pray. Just repeat after me. Say, Father, thank you for sending your son, Jesus Christ, to die in my place. Jesus, be my Savior. Forgive me my sins. Be my Lord, my boss, my friend, and my King. And lead me by the way I should go all the days of my life. And help me to serve you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's give those two a good hand clap. That's the greatest decision you've ever made. I would like to invite the prayer team forward. If you have a prayer need, maybe there is some sort of something that has sunk in your life and you want to see that thing raised up, come forward and receive prayer. Just remember the woman with the issue of blood, 12 years. What have you been believing and trusting God for? Come forward this morning. Any prayer requests you have, come and receive prayer. We're going to worship for a few brief moments.